and welcome to Minute 54 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Mark Hoffmeyer of Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, and Movies, Films, and Flicks. Welcome back, Mark.
I just want everyone to know that I can take off my shoes without using my hands.
Even if you're in a cramped car?
Easily, yeah.
Okay.
Who's tying these shoes? Who's tied these shoes on John Candy's feet? I mean,
he's done it himself.
Kick your shoes off? You can't kick. Is he triple knotting them? Has he cut all the circulation off of his feet? He can't kick them off.
I don't know. No clue. We'll have to get there and find out about it.
I have a very bad back. I look at things and I hurt my back. So I know about adjusting seats. But I don't know. As a tall person, I've learned how to pack myself into places. And I could kick my shoes off easily without using my hands. It's interesting. Can you take your shoes off without your hands?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem. Take them off. Putting them back on.
I know I jumped ahead.
Putting them back on is more difficult to do without your hands, but I can take them off.
That's fair.
I can easily kick
them off.
That's
very fair.
That's
fair. Yeah.
Right, so minute 54 begins with Neil continuing to get more and more annoyed with Del, and ends with Del and Neil arguing again. You know, these guys like to argue. They find reasons to argue and stuff like that. So, you know, the minute begins with the last part of the song that we were talking about yesterday, and Neil is really just about to lose all the patience that he has left. And he turns to Del, who is playing too much with the seat, and says, "Will you please stop doing that with the seat?" And then Del responds, "Once you start screwing around with these damn things, you can never get comfortable." And the answer that Neil gives him is, "Then quit screwing around with it." He goes, "I gotta get comfortable. Do you have a bad back?" "Well, I do, and it hurts like a bugger. There's only a couple of good positions for it." And then Neil says, "You're going to break it." And then Del goes, "Ah, done." He goes, "Good. Lovely, lovely, lovely." So what's funny to me is, as a parent of teenagers, it sounds like this is a parent and a teenager having an argument. You know, it doesn't sound like two adults are having this argument. It's like, "Would you stop doing that already?" And like, no, I'm just about that. Yeah, it's so I find that nice parallel between the two of them. I mean, we know that Neil and Del have very, very different personalities. There's no question about that. And they both deal with things very differently. But it's just funny watching them argue like this.
Yeah. And you know what, though? I think this is quite plausible in this situation, because let's say you and I get along great. You and I are on a road trip and you're fiddling with your seat. I'm listening to music. I'm looking at the road. It doesn't bother me, right? I am not bothered by it because we're not annoyed at each other. So you fiddling around with your seat. I'm like, "Oh, you got to get your bad back. It's all good." But by the third day of us driving across the country, after, you know, you're sore, you're tired of driving, you know, you had an argument about the tip, you two are annoyed at each other, you doing the same thing would drive me up the wall.
Right. Okay.
Like just so I don't know if you know that, like if you think like that at all, like sometimes like when you, something that's endearing at one point when you're annoyed with a person is completely annoying on the other.
Yeah, of course.
So
come on, Mark.
I like
you
this
and I
argument.
Are both married. We know that how that works.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's kind of fun watching these two grown men.
You love a person to death, yeah. But you still can get annoyed at certain things that they do if they keep doing them.
Exactly. And so, yeah, but that's why this scene makes sense to me. Like they just seem, and also I like that, like neither one of them shows much like empathy towards the other. Like they don't ever.
Because they don't need to.
Like they don't.
They don't need to, because again, when you're in a real friendship or in a loving marriage or whatever it is, so you wanna give in. But at this point, neither one of them wants to give in because they don't feel that they need to.
Yeah, but that just makes it so much harder. But it makes sense. Yeah. Two stubborn people, you know, salesmen do have egos. Like that, you know, they gotta get out there and sell. They do have egos on them.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's just, and they're already on a bad, they've already argued.
Right.
But that, yeah, it's a good seat gag, though.
It's a great seat gag. There's no question about that. Now, first thing I wanted to mention is the fact that Del mentions he has a bad back, but wouldn't that have bothered him when he was sitting in either of the airports that he was sitting in? Wouldn't it have bothered him when he was on the airplane, or when he was on the train, or when he was on the bus, or when he was in the diner? I mean, this is the first time that Dell is complaining about his bad back, and he's been in other cramped spaces throughout the 53 minutes preceding this.
Yeah, I guess it could be
Then
cumulative.
there's the bigger question that, okay, what was happening when he was driving? Was he able to put the seat in a place where it was comfortable for him at that point? I don't know. I mean,
He's just being a
yeah,
brat at this
I
point.
think so.
He's being a brat. Yeah, he would have showcased this already. Now, I guess it could be cumulative damage. You've been sitting for a long, this 4.5 hour drive is taking 78 hours. But it could be a, yeah, he's being a brat. I think it is. He is, because there's no way it takes that much work to get comfortable on a seat. He's just winding poor Steve Martin up. Do you think he is?
Completely.
I need brakes to see.
And then he breaks the seat. Now, one of the things that I heard, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, in one of the first episodes, that this is one of the two scenes that Steve Martin loved and signed on because of. There's this scene,
Yeah, the air.
and there's
Yeah.
the marathon scene. These two scenes
You're effed.
are basically the reasons why Steve Martin took on this role. He loved
Yeah, that's funny.
this whole confrontation between the two of them. It's great.
I love it though because I've never heard a car seat like I've heard, people smash somebody with their car seat and like smash like stick them in the back of the car like they can't move. But it's such a petty argument. It's such a funny thing to see in the script. And also too, I think it shows how good Martin and Candy are as performers because they're both being brats, but they're still somewhat likable in the scene. You can kind of, the actors are good and the writing's good when you can see both sides of
Yes.
this. Like car trips, listen, car trips are not comfortable. Like the last time I took a long drive, I ended up like getting really bad varicose veins and I had to go get surgery on them because they're like, you get a blood clot that pools up. So you can be very uncomfortable on long drives. So you're like, okay, John Candy's doing this. But then you look at Martin. And this, it's just the excessiveness of the moving of the seat. And so you're just thinking, okay, that is annoying. And he's at a point of just yelling at everybody. He's been punched. He could be possibly concussed. I mean, if you get knocked, a KO punch could leave you concussed. And he hit his head maybe on the pavement. So you have two people. You see both their sides, but it's good. But neither of them are, I think, are unlikable in this situation. And that's what I like. You know what? I was just thinking about this. Like in this movie, I think it works because no one's outright ever fully unlikable in this. Sometimes you get buddy movies where there's a very, very, very unlikable person, but then 30 minutes in, they're like, oh, but they actually have a heart of gold. And you're like, no, this is a miserable person. They both have redeeming qualities from the start, and I think that's why this argument works so well,
Right, and
for me at least.
I completely agree. I mean, I've mentioned this earlier also when we've dealt with other arguments between the two of them. Part of the problem with this movie, and it's not a problem, it's a good thing, is the fact that you don't know who to root for when the two of them are arguing together because they're both so lovable and they're so personable in everything that's happening. So, I mean, this is a perfect case here. As you said, you can see both perspectives of this argument. Because everyone has been in one or the other situation, or sometimes even both situations. And that makes things so much more relevant for viewers to watch. That you can really see these
And it's
characters
such
and
a
care about
minor
them.
argument.
It's a silly argument, but again, it's an argument between two people who don't want to basically give in to, that's what it is. Neither one of them wants to give in to the other one.
And I think we were talking about deleted scenes and you read the 6 minute phone call. I think it works better to keep these two together or in each other's orbit. You don't want to cut away for 6 minutes because you want to almost be claustrophobic with these two.
Right.
So you need to know that he's going back home. But I think this works best by cutting those scenes because these two are who matter. And I don't think this scene works if you keep cutting back 6 minute scenes with him talking to his family. So I think the whole thing of them just being wedged together works.
Yes.
And then, just the comical car going back, the car seat going back and forth. But where this scene lost me, though, you're about to read. I'll let you get there, though, if you want to read
Right.
the rest of the script or do
Well,
you have
first of
something
all,
else to cover?
about the car seat. I mean, I mentioned yesterday that it sounds very unrealistic the way that it's moving around and stuff like that. But do you think they would? I mean, do car seats move around that simply? You know, I mean, on my car, I have a lever and whatever. I can't move right to left. You'd think that,
that's
John Candy's a hefty guy. You know, sitting on that seat, if it's on that many widges or whatever you want to call it, you know, of course it's going to break pretty quickly, but it goes in directions that you don't expect the car seat to go into. You know, why do you need to move the car seat right or left?
That had to have been, that's a modification, because that's probably the only car on the planet that does that.
That's right. That's, I was going to say, do you think that that's a practical effect, or is that, you know, just having, or is that just having John Candy move back and forth? Because we never see the chair itself
I think
move.
I think they had to have made it. Like, you know, they actually ADR'd it, of course. But, you know, these people have so many budgets, they would have just given him something to play with, I think.
Right.
I think that that thing was moving.
Right.
Now, I think he was, you know, adding some extra sauce to it. But, yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge movie at this time. It's huge. Like, they have a budget.
Yeah.
They shot this movie for, what, 90 days? This is money. They got money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this is Candy and Martin, too. They could afford, the special effects crew could go in there and build a little rig. They probably had it in the studio, put it on a gimbal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They built it. That's my theory.
You can see there's a fake car set because you see behind them, you know, the way they used to do in the old movies where you just have, you know, two people sitting in front of a camera and it makes it pretend as if they're driving somewhere. Because the good thing they have here is they have the trunk behind them that you can always see in the back window, which is obscuring the view of any other cars, which worked.
Oh, that's such a smart choice.
Exactly.
That's a really smart choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, too, the fake driving of these two men is pretty exceptional, I would say. There's not much of taking a wheel and you can't see my motion, but you've seen movies where people just shake the wheel when they're driving. But no, good fake driving in this scene too. And good fake annoying each other. Real that annoying each other. If Fincher had these guys in a car together, they would have done 100 takes. They would have hated each other.
Well, I mean, John Hughes did a lot of takes also. You know, that's the amount of film that he used here is apparently twice as much as a normal movie this size uses or something like that. I remember reading that at the beginning or whatever. So basically at this point, Del then gets upset and says, oh, damn it. And Del goes, what now? He says, well, I got the seat just where I want it, but I can't reach my feet to get my shoes off. And he goes, that's just fine. Leave your shoes on. I can't relax if I got my shoes on. I don't care to breathe your foot odor. Leave the shoes on. Gee, it must be swell to be so perfect and odor-free. You know, there's plenty of things about you that bother me, but I'm decent enough not to bring them up. Really? That's right. What do I do that bothers you? I'm curious. He goes, there's a lot of things. And that's pretty much the end of the way that this is, that this conversation goes in this minute. Now, did you notice that, first of all, a lot of times while they're having this conversation, we don't see them. It's pretty much ADR'd in. We see the car driving on the highway.
Yeah.
So they do that a lot in this minute, which is great, the way that they do that. And did you also notice that there are three items on the dashboard in front of Dell the entire time?
No, what are they? I didn't even notice that.
They're somewhat blurry, but you can see that there's a pack of cigarettes. There's what looks like an empty bag of either potato chips or pretzels or something like that. And then there's something that looks like a Twinkie. Again, I don't know for sure, but I just thought it was really funny that it's just there, you know, and it doesn't move. The car can swerve back and forth. Del can swerve back and forth with what he's doing, and it's still there. Doesn't change. So I like the way they did that.
Ooh, he bought that with that money. And also, as far as someone being odor-free, when I think about Steve Martin, I think he would be as close to odor-free as a human could come. Nothing that Steve Martin has ever done makes me think I could smell this man. Like, are there any other actors? Like,
Tom Hanks.
Actresses, I was saying actresses might be weird. Are there any other actors? Well, I can smell him.
Oh, okay.
League of Their Own?
That's true.
Yeah.
So you're saying someone who doesn't look as if he sweats. Yeah.
Yeah, or like smells when they sweat. Like, it's just odor-free. Is there another odor-free, like Bill Murray sweats, you know, Vin Diesel sweats.
Yeah, most action heroes Steve McQueen are going to sweat. Yeah.
James Garner, he would put out like a musk. He wouldn't even wear cologne and he would still smell like cologne.
Maybe David McCollum. David McCollum.
Who?
You know, Ashley Pitt. Ashley Pitt in The Greatest Game.
Yeah. Wait, let me pull him up. I'm not. Why am I not seeing David McCollum? Oh, of course.
And obviously Goon Mark.
I'm looking at these. I smell him. David Spade?
No, he smells. Yeah, no, I don't know.
All right, no, we can do it. We get three more names. We have to like pitch three more names. All right, so who does Robert Downey Jr.?
Nah,
I feel like he'll smell like hand sanitizer or something. Let's see.
Anthony Hopkins
definitely smells.
I would think Anthony Hopkins smells like a heavy cologne.
Yeah, or wine. Yeah. I think Steve Martin is as close to you can come as a human who doesn't smell.
You'll have to meet him at some point and maybe find out. How's that? All right.
Yep. Knew it.
Great.
Knew it. I mean, he and Martin Short hang out. I don't think Martin Short would be very pungent, but I definitely, he sweats a lot. So I could see him doing it, but he's maybe next in line for less pungency.
All right. So the script here has a few discrepancies. First of all, Neil puts his wallet in the glove compartment as he's driving. In the movie, it only happens when he's back in the seat, which will happen next week. Right. And Del swears a little more in the script than he did in the final cut. And then their conversation about the feet is actually a little bit longer. So I'm going to quickly just go through that. So Neil says, "I don't care to breathe your foot odor. Leave the shoes on." And Del says, "When did you smell my feet?" Neil goes, "At the airport, on the plane, on the train, on the bus, in the motel, and I don't care to smell them in the car. And I suppose nothing on you smells." Neil goes, "Not like that." And he goes, "Gee, it must be a swell feeling to be perfect and odor-free." Now, in the movie, it says, the line is, "Gee, it must be swell to be perfect and odor-free." So I like the fact that they were able to cut out those two words along the way, which works. And then Neil goes, "I never said I was perfect." And then Del says, "Well, you don't come right out and say it." "I, however, am understanding enough to let them pass." And that's pretty much the only differences here within the script. So, yeah. Now
it works out perfect the way it is. I'm glad they cut it.
Now, what I find really funny is you know, I only read the script after I do my research for the minute. So, you know, you and I were talking before, and I mentioned the fact, you know, about the bad back. And I mentioned all the different places where it should have bothered him. And then here in the script, they mention all of those places where he took his shoes and socks off. You know, you probably didn't notice this. Most people didn't notice. I only noticed it when I first started doing the research on this, you know, minute by minute. But Del takes his shoes off when they're in the airport at the beginning, waiting for their plane in New York. Not just on the plane. I mean, he takes them off again on the plane.
On the plane, yeah.
But you see Del numerous times walking around in his socks. So, yes. He knows how to take – he takes his socks off quite often.
Ugh. That's rude. He's a traveling salesman too. Maybe he travels so much he's given up on being – like he knows he has to travel so much, so he just put himself first.
Well, he's washing his underwear in the sink every day. So, you know, that it's the type of life – he's definitely roughing it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, completely. Right. So – you got anything else for this minute, Mark?
It just gave me a weird visual of John Candy cleaning. This was fun. I'm glad we got to cover this one. I loved our odor-free conversation. That's what I wanted. That's what I in my notes right here, odor-free. That's what I wanted. So
there you go. What visualization of John Candy were you thinking of?
Oh, no, I was just – no, the visualization of the odor-free. Like, and then also I just want to say the shoe thing, he could take his shoes off. He's being a brat. He could kick those shoes off. Brett.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, but I think if we would have kicked them off, they would have flown into Neil's space. I think the way that he would have kicked them off, they would have like hit Neil in the head or something like that. You know, just causing a few more arguments around there.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely.
Yeah. But it wasn't necessary. It's better to have them arguing like adults instead of adding in a little bit of slapstick of shoes hitting people in the head.
Yeah, because this movie does walk a fine line. It's not too slapsticky, which is good. There's a couple little elements, but it's not really that kind of movie. I can smell all his right. feet right now though. It's gross.
So get some deodorizer.
Yeah.
Start spraying some deodorizer around your room. So every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where myself or my guests give a little story about some adventure that has happened to us along the journey of life. So Mark, you got another one for us?
Yeah, this is really pretentious, but speaking of shoes, I was in Scotland in 06, and my brother and I naively thought that we could hike to the top of Ben Nevis, the highest mountain in Scotland. So we started late in the afternoon, and this is when we were younger and like really good shape. So we started running up, but the problem was the soles of my shoes came off. So essentially, I was just walking on a complete flat rubber bottom of a shoe, because the major part
Oh,
of my two soles fell off, and we almost made it to the top. Oh, we didn't make it to the top, but we almost got it to the top, but it got so late. We didn't bring jackets. The temperature dropped so low, it got so foggy that we couldn't see where we were on the top of the mountain. So we were like, we could do this, but getting down would be a nightmare. A helicopter flew under us, which was awesome. But I remember
wow.
doing this entire hike without soles of my shoes.
Wow. You
And then
have
we
no soul,
basically
Mark.
ran down. Yeah, that's right. But it was cool. It was a great hike, beautiful hike. There was lakes up in the mountains. A helicopter went, like, we were so high up, helicopters were going underneath us. We didn't make it to the top, but if we had a couple extra hours, we would have easily. But yeah, speaking of shoes, I lost the soles of my shoes while hiking to the highest peak in Scotland.
Okay. Well, at least you can say that, right? All
Yeah, exactly.
right. So, Mark, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off the week with us?
Let's do it. Can't wait.
All
You're
right.
kind
Just,
of wait. I'll save it for the end of this episode. I was going to say something.
okay. Not yet. Not yet.
That's my motto when most people podcast with me. They're like, Mark, stop. Mark, come on, wait.
That's all right. Not a problem. So until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine.